Reading this evening from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita, summarized. We're reading verse 57. There's some long words in this verse, so I've written it down on a piece of paper and split the words into pieces so that I can pronounce them. Yasavatra nabi snehas Yasavatra nabi snehas Tat tat prapya subha shubham. Tat tat prapya subha shubham. Nabi nandati nadvesti. Nabi nandati nadvesti. Tasya pragya pratistita. Tasya pragya pratistita Yasavatra nabishnehas Tatat prapya shubhashubham Nabi nandati nadvesti Tasya pragya pratistita Yasavatra nabi snehas Tatat prapya shubhashubham Nabi nandati nadvesti Tasya pragya pratistita. Someone want to try? Yasavatra nabi snehas Tatat prapya subhasubham Nabi nandati nadvesti Tasya pragya pratistita Yasavatra nabi snehas Tatat prapya subhasubham Nabi nandati nadvesti Tasya pragya pratistita Yasavatra nabi snehas Tatat prapya subhashubham Nabi nandati nadvesti Tasya pragya pratistita. Translation: in the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Please repeat. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Purport. There is always some upheaval in the material world, which may be good or evil. One who is not agitated by such material upheavals, who is unaffected by good and evil, is understood to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one is in the material world, there is always the possibility of good and evil, because this world is full of duality. But one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness is not affected by good and evil, because he is simply concerned with Krishna, who is all good, absolute. Such Consciousness in Krishna situates one in a perfect transcendental position called, technically, samadhi. Om Jnana Timrandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dirati Swapadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Sri Visakam Vitamscha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami along with his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami, as well as Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta and Srila Jiva Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita Acharya, Gadata, Srivas, and other associates. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishakha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. O my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rate Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Haripriye. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You were the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you were very dear to Lord Krishna. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to all and to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen souls. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadata Sri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. I offer my obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadata Sri Vas and all others in the line of devotion. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we're in chapter 2. So today's verse 57 is, this is the part that speaks about the Stita Demuni. So Arjuna was asking in a text 54, he was asking some questions, and then Krishna's giving answer up to 59. And then he starts to talk about the senses for 8 verses. So from this section is from 54 to 59. So Arjuna had 3 questions. One were, what are the symptoms of ones whose consciousness is merged in transcendence? He's asking about a Stita Demuni. And the second question, so that question has already been answered in 55. And the next question was, how does he speak and what is his language? So that's yesterday and today's answer. And then the third question is, how does he sit and how does he walk? So then that's the next 2 verses. So So our verse is, the second part of the answer is about his speaking, which means how's he affected by things that people say to him? How's he affected by affection or anger? When something good happens, what does he do? When something bad happens, what does he do? How does he speak and what is his language? So I wanted to look at the Sanskrit words in the text. At the end of the first line, there's this one. It's Savatra. Where's my paper? And then Nabi, Sneha, Snehas. So there was this Matuji here, Sneha. This is that word, Sneha. It means affection. So Prabhupada was, in one of his early lectures in 1966, he was saying that this affection means affection for the body. He was saying, if out of all the millions and thousands and millions of ladies walking on the street, this one is special because she's my wife. So we have a special affection for this one because there's some bodily connection. He was explaining it like that. So yesterday, Ananta Rupa Prabhu was describing the threefold miseries, how Astita De Muni is fixed in Krishna consciousness even although they get these threefold miseries, and how they are free, they're steady, and they're free from attachment, fear, and anger. And then today's verse is how we're unaffected by the person in fixing Krishna consciousness is unaffected by good and material good and evil. And also by there's a connection with honor and dishonor, and how people speak to us and how we react or don't react. So looking at the Sanskrit words again, there's on the last word on the second line, shubha, it's split into two words, shubha and ashubha, which Prabhupada's translated as good and evil. So shubha means good or happy or auspicious. In Hindi they say shubh. And ashubha is inauspicious or evil, bad things. And then at the end of the third line, dvesti. Dvesti means envy or hates. So either, what did Prabhupada translate it as? Neither praising nor despising it. So not loving and not hating it, whatever comes. You might say, how can you hate something good? But when something very good happens, some people get very disturbed. There are cases that if someone becomes very quickly rich or very quickly famous, it can completely destroy their life. So if someone gets very famous, the marriage breaks up. And it's very strange how these things can affect people's lives. Or if someone becomes rich very quickly, by example, winning the lottery, or they go crazy. There was this one lady, a very famous case in the 60s in England. Her and her husband, they used to do the lottery every week, just kind of a hobby. And they were very poor, and they won an amazing amount of money, which is equivalent today of like about 5 million. They're like poor people. All of a sudden, they got 5 million pounds at their disposal. And they said to her, what are you going to do with it? She said, I'm going to spend it. And she did. She spent it all in about 3 years. They just spent on everything. And she just, all things for the body and comfort. They bought a house. They bought a fancy car, which she then within a year crashed and died. So she didn't become happy by it. She became very famous. And now she's living in some small house in some not very important part of the city. But then later on something good to her happened, then she became religious. She understood. But when she won the money, they just went completely crazy. They just gave it out to their friends and their relatives and had parties all the time. So that's not... if she'd have invested it properly, she would have been able to do lots of good things. Had a very secure situation her whole life and being able to do good for other people. And when something bad happens, then it also destroys people's lives. They get very affected by bad things. Equipoised. To be equipoised, we need to develop our Krishna consciousness. Yes, I'm going to give an example of that a little later. So the affection that I was talking about, the sneha, is due to the body. So, for example, we would be especially affectionate to one lady who is then the wife. And Prabhupada says that this is bodily affection, it's false affection because it's affection for something temporary, and what it leads to is another body. By having too much affection on a material way, then it will just lead to janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Which means... Janma, what does janma mean? Birth, yes? Mrityu? You know any? Jara? Old age? And vyadi? Disease. So look at chapter 13, text 9. Yeah. Miseries. So 13.9. It's five verses altogether. It's a list of things called knowledge, and one of them is in the second. Have you found it? 13. So the second one is number 9, and the third line is janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, nidarshanam. And Prabhupada translated it as seeing the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease. So by this material affection, false affection, it's temporary. And he says, for example, and Prabhupada gave an unusual story. He said there was a man building a very nice house, a very fancy house. And the reason he was building it was to set it on fire. And the other people were saying, what? You're not really going to set it on fire? You build such a nice house, take so much trouble, and at the end you're just going to set it on fire? This man must be crazy. And Prabhupada's saying, well, actually, this is our situation. We have this body which we're living in. We take care of it and decorate it so nicely and do everything for the body. Some people go to the gym 3 times a week to make the body look more attractive and put lots of makeup on the face and a different color powder. The people, the girls in England who are pale, they make it browner, and the girls in Africa, they make it paler. I went to a wedding in Bangladesh and the girl was putting white makeup on to make herself look more fair because they consider that beautiful. And then the girls in England, they don't want to be pale, they want to be brown. So, and then what happens at the end? This body? It gets burnt. Goes to take it to the crematorium and burn it. So all that work, what's it for? If it's just immaterial consciousness, why take the trouble? Feed it and decorate it for so many years and then burn it. And then Prabhupada was saying, in the history of the world, so many empires have been built, and where are they now? Demolished, burned, gone. Just like bubbles and waves in the ocean. So what is it that can't be burnt? is the soul. The body gets put on the pile of wood or in the oven, but the soul cannot be burned. You remember that verse? That the soul can't get burned? Number 23? 223. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam jati pavaka, na chainam kledayantyapo, na shoshayati maruta. The soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, but nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. It's the soul that's the important bit. And the symptom of the soul is consciousness. So that's it. So Prabhupada's saying, when you do some good work, don't accept too much praise, don't get too attached, and don't, when you lose something, don't be too sorry. There was one family in Holland, they're devotees, and by accidentally leaving a candle on near some washing, as someone opens the door where the washing is hanging, and then it was hanging over the candle, and they didn't notice, the whole house burned down. They lost everything. But fortunately, they were in good consciousness, and they were able to carry on their Krishna consciousness. And some people, if they had lost all their material possessions, they would get completely devastated. Can you imagine all the photos of the family when they were small and all the things they had done and seen? So the last line of the verse is, where is it? Tasya pragya pratistita. Firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So there are identified four different levels of things people do. One level is people are busy with satisfying the senses. People that sometimes we call them karmis because they're making karma, new bodies. The next level is people who satisfy the mind, poets or philosophers. Then another level is people who are satisfying their intelligence. For example, could be a scientist. He's very intelligent, does very intelligent work. And then the top level is to satisfy the soul. So this is what devotees are trying to do, satisfy the soul. A devotee in pure consciousness. So these four different levels we can find in the end of chapter 3. Let's just have a sneak preview of 342. Indriyani pranyahu indriyebhya pramana manasas tu parabuddhi yobade paratas tusa. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So if you satisfy the soul, that's the top level. And the next verse Prabhupada calls... The last verse of chapter 3, Prabhupada continues the... Krishna. Krishna's continuing, and Prabhupada's translated it like this. One should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness. So that's the highest level. Then for the example of someone who is equipoised, In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So the example of this is Prahlad. I was thinking of the story of Prahlad. You can't get in a much more difficult situation than he was in. About the deliberate spiritual intelligence. Now I was just speaking. So in Bhagavatam, let me see if I've got the right canto, 7th canto, chapter 8, is the story of Prahlad. I just want to read the beginning of this story so you can get an idea of what he went through and what his consciousness was. Right, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Text 1. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers. Sanda and Amarga. 2. When Sanda and Amarga, the sons of Shukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association with Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus, he finally decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake trampled upon by someone's foot. A snake, this is how he speaks. Hissing. It sounds like it, huh? The word is sounds like snake. So Hiranyakashipu, he's very big and very powerful and very strong and very angry. And he's standing in front of Prahlad. How's Prahlad going to react? Prahlad's 5. He's a little boy. His son Prahlad was peaceful, mild and gentle. His senses were under control and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. It's his father. He showed respect. Stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet, with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Hiranyakashipu said, "Oh, most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you. And therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you?" I mean, everyone will be afraid of some guy like that. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear king, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength. Whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised towards everyone, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind. There is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshipping the Lord perfectly. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies." He's already angry and he's saying this. "There were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemy that steal away the wealth of the body. Such fools are very proud, thinking, 'I have conquered all the enemies in all the 10 directions.' But if a person is victorious over the six enemies, and what are the six enemies? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, jealousy. Anyway, if a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance." Hiranyakashipu replied, "You rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you were better at me than controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this is the kind of nonsensical talk. For this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those about to die. Oh, most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar?" That's all we've got time for today. The musicians have arrived. There's Prahlad standing in front of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is being very angry to him. And what's Prahlad doing? He's not even praying, "Krishna, please save me. Vishnu, I've worshipped you all these years, please save me." He's not even asking for that. He's just very peaceful. He's standing there. He's thinking of God. So I'll just read the verse again. "In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge." So anyway, what Prahlad says next is... he's already said that. "One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through the 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has complete knowledge." And the 9 methods he's talking about is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Adminivedanam. So let's have some Kirtanam now. Thank you for listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Thank you.